Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
I want to start with some interesting statistics. You know, being a father and now a grandfather, hard to say those words because I look so young. But the point is that I've been doing some research, obviously, about fathering and just reading up on fathering, reading some books about fathering. And I came across some very, very interesting statistics that I want to share with you today that will, it's part of the paradigm shift that God wants to put into your mind today. And I found these incredible statistics, and I'll just read these off to you as we get started. But the average, when I was reading and doing my research, I found that the average Australian father, right, the average Australian father is equally as or slightly more free at expressing verbal affection than the average Australian mum. Now, I didn't believe that when I read that. It's quite mind-blowing. But it went on to say that the average Australian husband actually spends slightly more time doing domestic chores if you include yard work and you include car maintenance, slightly more domestic chores than the Australian wife who works, listen to this, this is the kicker part, who works an equal amount of hours outside the home. And the Australian father, on average, gives physical touch to their young children more times a day than the average Australian mum. Don't you find those to be incredibly compelling and interesting statistics? Unfortunately, I just made all of them up. But you got to admit they were interesting, right? You got to admit it was interesting. So I want us to pray today as we start our journey talking about fathers. I do believe God wants to bring a paradigm shift to you today about dads, really, really important day. So I want us to pray right now. Father, we thank you today for your presence. We thank you today for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for the worship. We thank you for what you're going to say to us. And we ask you to talk directly to our mind and to our heart today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you want to hear a good dad joke? Well, okay, I've got a good one for you. Here it is. Anthony. Anthony Robert Brown. That's his name. Do you get it? That's his name. Anthony Robert Brown. And he's my good old dad. I suppose at some time he must have been a hero to me. You know, when I was a kid. I mean, I was 6 or 7. I thought that guy was cooler than Kool-Aid. But I was always looking for him. You know what I mean? Looking for him out on the bleachers when I was playing Little League. Looking for him in the audience at the school concert. Looking for him coming down the road to pick me up from my mom's for the weekend. But looking for him was like playing hide and seek by yourself. Oh, you can go looking, but there ain't nobody hiding. So I quit looking for him. Quit asking him to come. Quit having some fantasy of some father-son relationship I'd seen in the movies or that most of the kids in my neighborhood seemed to have. And you know what happened when I quit? Nothing. Didn't make any difference to him at all. So, when I was a little bit older, I stopped looking for him and tried to get him to look for me. You know, to notice me, to be proud of me. Oh, there wasn't anything I wouldn't try to impress him. I used to listen to all his favorite music, even wear the band's T-shirts. But nothing was ever good enough for him. You know, if at school it was a B, it should have been an A. He was really into martial arts, so I thought, I know, I'll train, I'll compete. And, you know, he even came and see me a couple of times. And this one time, I got second place. I was so pleased. But he was waiting for me out in the car park afterwards. No eye contact. He just said, you know, second's the first person to lose. I suppose you'd call him harsh. The only physical contact between us is when he reached for his belt. And the closest I ever got to, I love you, son, was probably, pour me a whiskey, boy. So, I stopped trying to get him to notice me. Stop looking for that I'm proud of you, son. Stop looking for that pat on the back that I so desperately wanted, desperately needed. I lived my life and he lived his. But I always said, my dad's a joke. I mean, he's the one with the issue, right? He's got the problems. But here's the kicker. I mean, the real punchline. Now, my dad, he's sick. I mean, really sick, like dying sick. And all of a sudden, he wants me. He needs me. He wants me to look after him, be by his side. The great Anthony Robert Brown wants me. All those things I so desperately needed from him all those years, suddenly now he wants it from me. He expects me to come running. Don't look at me like that. I mean, what am I supposed to do here? I mean, maybe if he'd been better, I'd have something more to say to him. But after all these years, I got nothing. I mean, where do I even start talking to him? I mean, where do we even begin?
You know, there's a book written by Daniel Blankenhorn called Fatherless America. And basically the thesis of the book is that we live in a society that's gradually losing our belief in the concept or the idea of fatherhood. Did you notice yesterday, even in the paper here, we're not going to call them Father's Day anymore. I can't even remember what the title was, but it was, again, a reflection of this idea that fathers are irrelevant and fathers don't matter. Even though it was for another politically correct reason, the same issue or the same outcome is in play. And the guy writing the book, Daniel, makes this observation after research that if you were born after 1970, that it's likely you grew up in a home. In fact, statistics will say you grew up in a home where your father was not physically present in your home any more than 50% of your growing up time by the time you hit 18. So you imagine those children born in 1970 or after, now think about those born in 1980 or 1990, how much more time is where the father's not actually present in the home, physically not there for 50% of the time. And with all the data that we hear, you know, here's the thing that really struck me was that it's very easy for us because mothers are such great nurturers, and it's easy to honor mothers because of their nurturing qualities. And because they nurture us, they give us an immediate payoff because they're there when we need them. They're there when we cry out for help. They're there at the drop of a hat. They're emotionally connected. And because we get the payoff straight away, and we don't get often the payoff with our dads straight away, we can lull ourselves into the belief that our dads aren't that important. But the truth is this: for the immediate payoff we may get from our mothers, the long-term damage that happens to our soul and to our personhood because of fathers that aren't present, fathers that aren't connected, or dads that we can't connect to. They may be there, but they don't know how to connect, or we don't know how to connect with them, and they're not as emotionally flexible as our mothers are, and therefore can't bend the way that a mother can, that sometimes we get to the idea that maybe dads aren't as important as mothers, that dads aren't as important than these mother figures in our lives. But I want to talk to you today on Father's Day about why that's not true. And I want to give you a paradigm shift in your mind, because though it may be a slow rot, it's a rot that lasts for generations. That moment of fatherlessness creates in us all kinds of issues and problems, not only relating to our own children in the next generation and the generations to come, but also in relating to God, who by himself decided to call himself our father. He has all the qualities of a mother, all the qualities of a father, all wrapped up into one, but he still chose to say that he was our father who art in heaven. And there's a reason why he said that, and there's a reason why the devil tries to destroy fatherhood in the lives of families and the lives of our individual pursuits and growing up years. You know, some of it goes way back to the war, the Second World War, First World War. The harshness that was imposed creates a generation of men that are wounded. And because of that, they then pass that on to sons who aren't wounded physically or emotionally, but still carry the seeming same symptoms of the person who raised them. And then things just drift out of control till finally we rise up with a belief that we actually don't need our dads as much as we actually do. And we have a society that's really interested in replacing dads with anybody with a personal pronoun that they decide they want to be, that may feel or fill in their gap as a father. But I want to tell you something. God created fathers for a reason, for a purpose, and for a destiny. And without the connection, guess what? Where lives are lived in a place of being deprived of some of the things that we need. You know, with all the negativity, and this is why I want to talk about fathers. Obviously, on Father's Day, we do, but I want to shift your paradigm. I want to change how you think about your dad. I want you to change the way you think as a father. I want you to think differently, because the Bible says if I'm renewed in my mind and think differently, I can accept God's purpose and God's design for my life, my family's life, and our future life. But here's some of the issues as a result of fatherlessness. When there's a father missing, this is what happens. And this is why right across our world, there's a malaise that snuck in to every part of our Western civilization that's causing it to crumble at the very core. Why is it crumbling at the very core? Because one of the pillars that's critical to holding up the house, call our family, call our society, is the father. And this is what our statistics say about the results of fatherlessness. Suicide. 63% of youth suicides happen because of fatherless issues in the life of people that take their life. Runaways, 90% of all homeless and runaway youth come from fatherless environments. Behavioral disorders, 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders do so because of a fatherless environment. It's interesting, a stat I read in the news today from America that they say now that 10% of the children in America have ADHD or have a form of attention deficit disorder, 10%, which is a huge increase on what it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Now, some will say it's because of it's undiagnosed, and that may be partially true. Others will say it's the result of families being so busy that there is no emotional input, that 50% of the time a father isn't present in a home contributes to all these other malaises that take place, like suicide, runaways, behavioral disorders, high school dropouts. 71% of all high school dropouts come from a fatherless environment. Juvenile detention rates. 70% of juveniles in state institutions come from a fatherless environment. Substance abuse. 75% of adolescent patients in substance abuse centers come from a fatherless environment. And it may be even that the father's physically present, but there's no emotional presence, or they may be not present at all. And we have a world that's sick and telling us that we don't need fathers. We don't need them, because that's the way you deal with pain when you can't handle it properly, is you say, I don't need it. Think about it. For someone to be able to fool themselves into believing they're okay, they've got to say, I don't need the very thing that's actually central to my existence, my humanity, and my emotional health. We've got to say, I don't need it. And so our world, in its usual cop-out way, instead of embracing it head-on, says it's because, well, I actually don't need it. And now they're finding, you know, just something I was reading the other day about, you know, the removal of appendix. Who grew up thinking that you didn't need your appendix? Right? I won't tell you the new stats that have come out about that, but it's very interesting because it seems that we do. So what we do is go, oh, we don't need it. But in truth, we need it. And this is what we've got to do. One of the reasons why we want to talk about it today is because if we don't get a paradigm shift, we can't correct it for the next generation. God wants us to build something that's strong, right? And so I want to talk to you, another reason I want to talk to you about fathers today is because why it's important to celebrate Father's Day is because if you look hard enough, even into difficult fathering circumstances, you'll find good wherever you choose to look for good. And when you look for good, it reinforces the emotional part of who you are so that you're able to live life better. But if you don't celebrate Father's Day and face the pain that may be part of your Father's Day experience, then you'll never ever confront that. You'll never ever find the good that actually may be there. One of the reasons we celebrate it is, one, because fathers are underappreciated, but number two, because so we can go on a journey to find the good in a dad that was bad and elevate that good so that we have an appreciation that reinforces our security, our sense of identity and of who we are, right? And here's the deal. Without a true picture or a clear picture of fatherhood, a mature picture of fatherhood, we will miss out on the most important of all our relationships. All our relationships hinge on our relationship with God the Father. So if we don't figure this out, that's why I like Pastor Greg and his whole series on the fatherhood of God, because if we don't figure that out, we live in a state of weakened emotional resistance and maturity in our thinking and an ability to transcend the normal negative world we live in and live as spiritually superior beings who have embraced the power of a God that created me and designed me. And I want you to understand something. We often focus on Jesus going to the cross. We often focus, and so we should. Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins. But I want to tell you something. It wasn't Jesus who chose to go. It was God who sent his only son to go and die. So why? So not only would you have forgiveness of sins, but so you would understand the love of a father that's prepared to sacrifice his one and only to let you have eternal life. Why do we celebrate the death of Jesus? It's not just because he brought a reconciliation and he brought a forgiveness of sins. It's because we're celebrating the gift of a father that loved us so much that he gave. And that's often lost in the narrative around Easter because the crucifixion was so horrible. But think about what happened in heaven to our Father who did it so that you and I would live. And see, here's the deal. Our relationship with God is so impactful upon everything that the Apostle Paul writes on a number of different occasions in different ways. He says, writes in Ephesians, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you may see the greatness, the length, the breadth, the strength, and all of the goodness of God's love for you. Because if you will, everything changes. Paul writes and he says to these Ephesians who can't get the fact that God wants good things for their life, who've got an incomplete view of their salvation, I want your heart to see how much your Father loves you, because if you don't see that, you'll never be everything he designed you to be. Fatherhood is critical to our spiritual well-being as well as our emotional and physical well-being. And here's the deal. If we don't deal with our earthly father feelings, we'll never get over the hurdle that prevents us from enjoying God the Father in the way that he wants us to. Let me show you how impactful it is. This is true. You can talk, counsel people for 30 plus years and it's the same story everywhere. We can't help it, but our natural relationship with our dad projects onto God the Father. And so this is how it does in practical life, right? If we felt love from our dads, then we more easily feel love from God. If we felt protected by our dads, then we'll believe more easily that God the Father will protect us in our job, in our finances, in our health, and physically. If our dad's provided for us, then we'll more easily believe that he's Jehovah Jireh, my provider, that my heavenly Father won't let me go to ruin because he's working for me. He's looking out for me. He's cheering me on like we saw the dads cheer on their sons today, some better than others, I must say. But you know what? He's the dad of all dads and he's cheering us all on because he cares about us. If we feel that if our dads are emotionally connected, we will feel that from God. And if our dads didn't communicate well to us, then we will struggle to hear God's voice. The pressure of expectations and no protection. And you know what? There are people in this room, all of us have our story to tell. I'm not telling you that story in any way to dishonor. I'm telling you that story because I'm sure I've done it to my kids and I've got to be careful. And in this room, all of us have got our own story to tell about why we are deficient in an area in our relationship with God. And I'm here today to shift that paradigm for you. So as we change and embrace a new paradigm, our lives can be different because here's the truth. You know, when I was growing up, you know, our parents, we were so poor, we were missionary kids, and so I didn't have any milk, like real milk, that I can remember till the age of about six, because we lived in Papua New Guinea and we had powdered milk all our lives. That's why I love farmers' unionized coffee so much. Right? We didn't have donuts in Papua New Guinea. That's why I had to go out and get one at 3 a.m. this morning. It was a deficit that was left that I've got to fill every single day. Now I've become a donut. Here's the thing. And so, you know, my parents, my mum was a great Bible teacher, but she was a terrible cook. Just being really honest, mum, bless your heart, love you. She doesn't mind, she's happy. Here's the thing. She was a brilliant woman. I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for her or for my dad. But guess what? You know, my mum had this idea, you know, that eating things like tripe was a good idea for our family. Tripe. I mean, there is a reason why people would say that's a bunch of tripe when they're referring to something that's really bad, okay? Because it is really bad stuff. We were so poor, I mean, that we'd have kidney and liver. Can you imagine we'd have liver and kidney to eat at home? And you think about it, they now, of course, you know now, you know, if you've got any medical knowledge at all, that the waste, the dump, the trash dump of your body is your liver and kidneys. Right? And so just imagine that you're just eating junk. It was the first junk food ever created was liver and kidney, right? Then my mum used to say, well, we got some beautiful, beautiful food today. What's this tonight, mum? Oh, it's lamb's fry. Oh, you mean sheep's brains, mum. Not to mention the soggy beans and the peas. And the worst part of it was, I can't even remember the word. What was it? Brussels sprouts. They even named my brother after that, Brussels sprouts. It's just an incredible, incredible thing. I hate Brussels sprouts. I had my kids love it. I made sure I said, Jane, we've got to be good parents. We cannot feed the kids Brussels sprouts, tripe, liver, kidney, or sheep brains, or peas. Or mashed potato. I don't know about you, but I grew up for the first 22 years of my life having mashed potato every single night. And so I haven't had mashed potato at all since I got married. It's an amazing thing. My kids are like, what's this new food that's come on the market? Mashed potato. Because whatever I pour in, because I'm trying to avoid all the bad junk, right, it's a reaction to what was poured into me. But then I create a deficit anyway because I'm human. And so I've got to get a different way of thinking and a different way of living and understand that we've got to flip the paradigm on its head so that we can think differently, act differently. And so today my message is simply, the next 12 minutes will be done. But here's the title of my message: Don't expect more from your dad. Learn to extract more from your dad. Don't expect more, extract more. Don't expect him to be better and hope for the change. Learn how to get it out of him. Dads are very wise, smart, if you know how to unlock the key to his mouth and his heart. If you know how to get in, you'll be able to get in. You know, we usually focus on what we expect dads to do. Dad should be better at this and dad should be better at that. Well, how about you be just being better yourself? Instead of expecting dads to be better dads, why don't you be a better son for a change? Why don't you be a better daughter for a change to your dad, right? And if we turn it around, instead of extracting from him, expect from him for it to get better, we extracted better. Rather than expecting him to show love to us, why don't we extract the love from him? Rather than expecting his presence, why don't we extract his presence from him? Instead of expecting him to communicate, why don't we extract communication out of him? You know, if you can get your dad to talk, he has a lot of great things to tell you. And God wants to give you the key, supernaturally creative key, to unlock the door of your dad's heart so you can extract the good, not just look at the bad or look at the indifferent and just make a decision, but learn how to get in, because Paul says the gap is so important that he prays above all things that your heart would be enlightened with the truth of God's love for you, the Father's love for you. He thought it was so critical to your Christian faith that he prayed for it to happen. Time and time again, he writes about the Father's love. Why? It's so critical that if I don't get it, then I'm going to have all the malaises that I referenced before and maybe some of my own that I created. So Paul writes, listen, I pray that you'll have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep God's love is for you. This is the crux of all our issues. Does he really love? I think the most important question every child has about their dad is, does he really love me? Does he really care? Does he really notice? Does he really, really see what's going on? It's the question, the universal question. Even the story of the prodigal son is a story of two sons. One rebels, we know that story well, against the father. Why would you leave your father and take everything if you felt loved? But he takes half the possessions and leaves because I argue he didn't feel loved. But what about the older son? He stayed, but he didn't feel loved either. Because when the son came back, he was mad because he'd done all this works to get his dad's love, and his dad showered his love on the prodigal, not on him, because he didn't realize that what the father said was, all of what I have is yours. That's your reward. I love you so much. But a sinner's gone away and come back, and we need to have a party for them. But can you see it? There's one person who feels loved, not loved and leaves, and the other person feels not loved and stays. You and I know people that have left the church, left God, left their relationship with God because they didn't feel loved. Some of us are in this room today and you've stayed faithful, but you still don't feel loved. But if we could turn it around, and instead of being asking for God's love, we started to extract from God, not to expect from God. Imagine if we could take out of God rather than expect him to give it to us. Imagine if we knew the key to unlock the door. Imagine if our hearts got really healed. Remember what Jesus said about children. In Matthew 18, he said they're the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He brought a child. He says, this child is the greatest. He says, you know, the disciples asked him, who then is the greatest? And he grabbed the child and he placed the child among them. And he said, I tell you, unless you change, listen to this, unless you change and become like a little child, you will never enjoy and enter the kingdom of heaven. What was he saying? He was saying that the greatest person on planet Earth was someone with an attitude of a child. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. In brackets and parentheses, it says loving, trusting, and forgiving. So Jesus puts those three attitudes as the greatest. So because the child never thinks about what happened yesterday, they just run to the dad and expect to be picked up. Expect to be loved. They get over it and move onwards, but they expect you to help them. They expect you to love them. They expect you to give to them what they need. Because the paradigm isn't about how good the dad is. The paradigm is about the attitude of the child. Here's the deal. God wants you to get the attitude of a child so that as you do, you can bring healing to yourself. You can bring healing to your dad. You can bring healing to your relationship with God the Father, because of all things, that's the most critical. God wants you to have that relationship. And He wants to come into your life and transform you so that you can reach out like a trusting person, like a loving person, like a forgiving person. And that's hard for some of us because we've been so hardwired, or we've been so affected by what's going on in our life, that it seems like too much of a thing to ask, but you're not asking for change for someone else. You're asking for change for yourself. It's how you unhook yourself off the merry-go-round of life. So we've got to extract, not expect. And Jesus said, you've got to yearn to be like a little child. God, help me to be a forgiver, a lover, a truster. Help me to do that with every person in my life, because as I shift the paradigm, no matter what my dad didn't do or did do, I'm doing for myself a favor, but I'm not just doing it for myself. I'm doing it for the next generation, and I'm doing it for the generation afterward. Because here's the issue with dads. You ready? Here's the problem with dads. Have you noticed that dads never ask for directions? I'm guilty. As charged. Why should I ask for directions? I can find my own way. Thank you. That's how dads think. I don't know why we're wired with that gene. Women will chat to anybody and ask for directions. Not the man goes, listen, you just sit in the car, look at Waze or Google, whatever. We'll get there. But here's why. So that gene inside of us means that we get a narrow pool of information to make decisions. It's part of a man for some reason. So think about it this way. I've counseled a lot of husbands, a lot of fathers over the years, and I see them trying to make decisions based on the pool of information that their own father gave them, who also made decisions on the pool of information their father gave them. Have you ever noticed that often careers run in the family? Have you ever noticed issues are the same from generation to generation? What is that? Well, we want to spiritualize it and call it spiritual, generational curses. But how about it being, I just got my information from a small pool, and because of that small pool, that's what I'm doing to you, which is why I've got to get healed, because when I get healed, the pool gets bigger, I get more information in, and now I'm able to pour it out. Let me give you an example. Have you ever noticed how dads who become granddads seem to be a lot better with your kids than they were with their own? Right? New information's been introduced into their life in a non-scary environment, and now they embrace it. So we've got to heal ourselves. Dads need to be healed. We need to have stuff extracted from us so that we can give our stuff away, learn more, grow more, but it'll never happen if we're nagged or we're talked down to or patronized in any way. It only works if someone will learn to extract and stop expecting. My goodness. I'm going to buy my own CD. I think that's so good. Here's the deal. This is truth, right? Truth. Turn to the person next to you and say, this is for you. Ask the Holy Spirit. Now, number one is this. Don't expect. So say it together. Don't expect. Say it again. Don't expect. So our job is to go away from today. Our call to action is to go and extract it from our dads, not expect it from our dads. That's the paradigm shift God wants to bring. Be like a little child, then you'll be a great person. A little child extracts it from you. Have you noticed that you'll give to a little child things you wouldn't give to anyone else because they know how to get it out of you? My grandson Judah knows how to get it out of me, whereas my sons could never get it out of me. He's got the little key that unlocks Grandpa's heart that makes me want to give him whatever he says. And Mark would say to me, Dad, no, I don't want you doing that. I said, listen, buddy, I don't care what you say. I'm going to give him whatever he wants. Just as payback. I'm going to give him whatever he wants. If he wants to have all that ice cream, if he wants to have all those lollies and go crazy at night at home, God bless him. Have some more, son. The second thing is this, be grateful. So extract, don't expect, and be grateful. Dads are pretty simple creatures. I try to teach my kids, listen, I want you to be grateful for, I'm happy to give you anything, but be grateful because you kids are not grateful. You're 25 and you're still not grateful. But when they're grateful, my heart melts, so I want to give them everything. Same with God the Father. Gratefulness is the key to his heart. A father doesn't expect accolades, he just wants gratefulness. Do you know how hard it was for me to get that? Do you know how difficult it was? Do you know how much pain, do you know how much worry I've been through to get that? Dads want gratefulness. They want to be extracted. They want to have gratefulness. And the third thing they want is they want to be forgiven. Dads don't often do well with weight and responsibility unless their dad taught them. Dads are pretty much programmed by the previous generation to be like that. Even if the symptoms are different, the core issues are the same. Well, my dad was an alcoholic, so I won't be one. No, you'll be obsessive about something else. So it flows through our family line, that pool just filters into our world and taints our water and causes us to live that way. So we have to forgive. Dads make big blunders sometimes because they can't communicate as tactile a way as a mother can. Touch and non-verbal cues do so much more than just communicating. Dads aren't so comfortable with that, so extract it out of them. Ask for a hug. Do things that draw it out of them rather than expecting from them feeling resentful underneath. No matter how old your dad is, the best present you can give your dad is forgiveness. Because you're giving it to not only the previous generation, you're actually setting it up for the next generation. And you're setting it up for the generation after. Because if you become the one that forgives, the one that extracts, and the one that's grateful, you'll teach that to the next generation who'll start to be like that with you, right? So this is a self-fulfilling prophecy for your generational line. This is not just for you today. It's for everybody tomorrow and for everybody the next day and the next year and the next decade and the next century. It's for everybody else coming your way. So guess what? We need to get it right with our dads, because if we can get them whole by extracting it, they may never change. But we might be able to extract instead of expect. We might be able to grateful and we can forgive. We set everybody up for success. Today, I want to pray for you before we close and go for lunch. Some of you are booked in lunch and you're getting itchy, ready to go. Itchy feet, that is. I didn't mean hives or anything like that. Here's the thing. I want you just to close your eyes. And I want to pray for people today that say, you know what? I hear what you're saying, Pastor Ashley. I want to be an extractor, not an expector. I'm going to lower my expectations and increase my extractions. Think about a dentist when they go to extract your tooth. It takes effort. When miners go to extract gold, it takes care and precision. Whenever you try to extract something out, when you try to extract something out of the ground or you're trying to extract, it's a process. It takes effort. And I'm going to pray for you today that God gives you the creativity to extract from your dad what you need to feel whole and right. And even if he doesn't give you everything you need, you're setting yourself up for the future generation. So could we close our eyes and bow our heads? And if you said to me, Ashley, I need that creativity with my dad. I need that creativity. I need to know the key that unlocks the door. I don't know what it is. And I don't know how to get it, but I certainly want it. And I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray. So I'm going to pray for myself that I get that creativity, that God gives me that ability to extract rather than expect and learn how to forgive and learn how to be grateful more, because I could be a lot more grateful than I am. And all of us in this room need help in some area. And so if that's you, and this is for every follower of Jesus in this room, because it's for anybody. If you say, I need God to help me be more creative, would you just put up your hand right now? Just put up your hand right now. Say, Holy Spirit, I want you to help me. Come on. This is one of those moments that may feel uncomfortable. I got my hand up. I need help. You need help. That's for sure. I can see that. I need help. That's for sure. You can see that. Father, I pray for the people with their hands raised. Make us better, being better sons and daughters. Lord, rather than expecting our dads to be awesome, let's pray that we're awesome, that we're much better than our previous generation at extracting and not expecting. Holy Spirit, help us, we ask in Jesus' name.
We hope that this message has blessed you. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencers.church.